right. God's got a good word for us today. Always does. Amen. You got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 128. We're reading all 128 Psalms this morning. No, we're not. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, it made one person laugh anyway. Wonderful to have our mother in the house. Mother, we are honored to have you. Amen. Danielle Ramirez's grandmother. Amen. And Brother Raymond and great-grandmother of Annalise. Is that right? Great-grandmother? Well, we knew she was great when she walked in. Amen. We're honored to have you, great-grandmother. God bless you. We thank God for you. Yes. Psalms 128. When you've got it, if you would stand as we honor the author of the book just one more time, and then we'll let you relax and catch up on that hour that you lost last night. Amen. Hallelujah. I started to leave. I was ready to leave. I was all ready to go. Amen. We were ready for it, and I looked, and my grandson stayed the night last night, and he's still on the couch just having heavenly visions, I guess. I said, "Hey, Juliet." Grandma didn't wake him up. Nobody woke him up. All right. Thank God my lovely wife, our co-pastor, has always knows how to get ready in about 5 seconds or less. Her girls do. I don't know how they do it, but she trained them that way. And it just come right on down the line. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms 128. Let's read a few verses here. Can we do that? I may know the word blessed. Blessed is also happy, fortunate to be envied. Amen. Somebody say, I'm blessed. I'm happy by faith, fortunate, and to be envied. You're prophesying that over yourself. I'm blessed. I'm fortunate. I'm happy, and I'm to be envied. God said I'm blessed. If God said I'm blessed, then I'm blessed. If God said I'm healed, then I'm healed. Oh, if God says I'm rich, then I'm rich. And so we let the poor say they're rich, and let the weak say they're strong. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Or blessed are all who reverence and trust the Lord, and blessings on all who obey him. Verse 2, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. What's the next verse? What's the next part? I didn't hear you. Say it again. What is it? Look at somebody else and say it. Prophesy over them. Look at them. Happy shalt thou be. Oh, come on. Look at them and tell them like you mean it. Happy shalt thou be. Happy shalt thou be. Happy shalt thou be. I may not be happy right now, but I will be. God says you're going to be happy if you will honor and reverence him, and I know you are. Amen. And obeying him, he says, yeah, you're going to eat the labor of your hands. Your reward shall be prosperity and happiness. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Amen. And the next verse is a good verse. Really, that's the two verses I wanted to key on, but the next one's good. If you're married, the wife, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, or your wife shall be contented in her home. And look at all those children. They're like little olive plants round about thy table. Amen. All you see is little mouths. Amen. And there they sit around the dinner tables, vigorous and healthy as young olive trees. The Bible says that is God's reward for those who reverence and trust him. Amen. Blessed for the man that fears the Lord, that reverence and trusts him. And look at verse 5. May the Lord continually bless you, Living Bible says, with heavenly blessings, heaven's blessings, as well as with human joys. Somebody say heaven's blessings and human joys. Look at somebody one more time and look at them and say, may the Lord continually bless you with heaven's joys and with human joys. With heaven's blessings and with human joys. How many could stand some human joys? Woo! I want human joys that is a little bit more than the almond joy that I like. Amen. Come on. You there? All right. All right. Somebody else likes almond joy too. Hallelujah. Excuse me. As well as with human joys, and may you live to enjoy your grandchildren, and they and they, God, and may God bless Israel. Amen. 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 We want to focus on happy shalt thou be. We want to talk about happiness this morning. Does God want us to be happy in light of so many unhappy people? Whew. I know the Lord is in this because he put things together even earlier this morning on that prophetic word. It was on this day, March 13th, the prophetic word in your Bible there, and the blessing, which we'll get to. I pray we have time a little bit later. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word today. You sent your word and healed us and delivered us, everyone. Use your word now, Father, and speak to our hearts. And Father, move in our lives. Move every unhappiness out of the way. Oh, God. Ah, I feel the Holy Spirit. Father, take everything that's unhappy, anything that's not of joy. And Father, I thank you for replacing it, removing and replacing it with the joys of heaven, with the joys and the blessings of God. Lord, we claim it today. We know that this is your word today. You put everything together, even as late as this morning. You've given it a few weeks ago. But God, right up to this morning, you are confirming your word. I want to thank you for it. I know it's a word for this hour, for this moment. It's a rhema. It's a personal word. I thank you that you, Father, see each one. You know their situations. You know what makes them happy. And you know what has brought unhappiness. I thank you, Father, for moving in that now. And I praise you for it as your word comes forth in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Woo, glory, glory, glory. We've been doing some other things here the last few weeks. Brother Michael and T.D. Jakes, we've been having some messages from the bishop, and that's been a blessing to your pastor while he's been recuperating. Amen. Praise God. So, but today, I wanted to go to the third part on love and passing the love test. But I felt this was really what took priority. Amen. How many know your happiness is God's priority? I said your happiness is God's priority. God says so many times in the Word of God about happiness and being happy. Amen. Joy. So we want to look at that this morning. And I was thinking about, I heard something recently about, I even hate to kind of mention his name in the pulpit, although I'm praying for him. And I know no one is beyond the reach and grace of God. Amen. But I heard something recently about Howard Stern, the popular shock jock. Not popular with me, shouldn't be popular with the church. It's crude and foul and just of the lowest over the years. Of course, I don't listen to it, and I'm sure many of you haven't either. But he is successful by the world standards and been successful there in radio, as you know, TV judge on some program, I forget what it is. Had blessed, fortunate to have $80 million in times past, but he just got a contract for $400 million. Now, if that don't make you happy, but listen to what they asked him. They said, you must be pretty happy. And he said this. He said, I've never been happy a day in my life. $80 million and you're not happy? New contract for $400 million and you're not happy? How many would say, well, Pastor, I can understand that, but if I had a little more, I could be a lot happier. Amen? Come on, can we be honest? And I'm believing God, amen, to meet all on this. Oh, you're too stiff this morning. Look at somebody next to you and said, Lord, I'll get some a little more here. I'll even be happier than I am right now. Amen. All right. If you will, somebody turn to him, tell him, honey. Or if it's not your honey, just a brother, say, God is blessing me, and I'm going to be a lot happier as God continues to bless me and bless us. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just money. God bless you with the things money can't buy. You can't buy healing. You can buy medical treatment. You can't buy healing. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy a contented wife. You can't buy healthy children. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, God wants everyone to be happy. I said, God wants everyone to be happy. By the word of God, from the times happy is mentioned, I declare to you on the word of God, God wants you happy. I'm going to let that sink in just for a little bit, because there's a thing in the body of Christ that says, God doesn't want me happy, just joy doesn't depend on circumstances, blah, blah, blah. And I don't have to be happy, but I'll have joy. Don't I look joyful? Yeah. Amen. You've heard it, haven't you? I've preached it. Well, we're going to get it straight this morning. Amen. As much as God straightened me out on it. Amen. We know, we've seen, and we use greeting cards that wish happiness. Amen. Happy birthday. Happy New Year. Happy anniversary. Happy hour. Got to watch that one. Amen. Happy wife. That's right. Happy life. Happy wife. Happy life. God wants you to be happy. So I want us to look at this in a little bit depth. Brother Gary, Pastor Gary Wilkerson, the son of the great preacher David Wilkerson. Amen. From the Cross and the Switchblade. Many of you know who he was. Went to the streets of New York City and reached the gang members there. His son has taken on for him. He's with the Lord now. But he writes this message. If you'll take it out, if you'd like to take the little guideline there out of your bulletin, how to live happy. Does God want us to be happy? I want us to go through it a little bit. And I believe God's going to speak to us through our brother. Amen. Because I believe it's a subject that we really need to hear about, especially in a world that's becoming more and more unhappy. People are becoming more and more unhappy. Huh? We watch our TV, we watch the news, we see a real effort to squelch free speech. Amen? How many know that the enemy is very tolerant as long as you do what he says? As soon as you say anything he doesn't like you to say, then they're very intolerant. Mm-hmm. And our number one constitutional right is a free speech. They're trying to shut that down. I said they're trying to shut that down. Yeah. The devil's never been happy a day in his life, except when he was created, maybe. Amen. But the Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning. So God knew something about. I don't understand all that. We won't get into that because that's a subject I can't get into because I don't know much about. But I know he was beautiful when God created him. He had pipes, organs. I mean, he was the most beautiful of all the creation. He was the worship leader in heaven. Now, I mean, no, you get thrown out of heaven, that'll make you a bit unhappy. Yeah. And so because he's unhappy, he wants you to be unhappy. And so he's working overtime to make you unhappy. Because he has no joy, he has no happiness, he has no future. He knows you do, but he's trying to change that. But God is with us, Emmanuel. And so the question is, does God want us to be happy? If we'll follow along, I believe God's going to speak to us a word about happiness today. Amen. Get ready to be happy. Praise God. Happier. That's a loaded question for many Christians. The church hasn't given a clear answer on it for over a generation. Yet from beginning to end, the Bible gives us a very clear answer, and it's meant to transform the way we live. Happiness is a relevant subject because right now people are unhappier than ever. Amen. Let me ask you, are you happy? You don't have to answer that publicly. Are you really happy? Well, it got quiet in here. Yeah. That may sound surprising because of all the progress humankind is making. Economists tell us we're the wealthiest generation in history. People today have more money and means than ever before. We have more leisure pursuits and entertainment than at any other time. The 30-something generation grew up on Xbox and PlayStation and countless games literally at their fingertips. They could play one video game after another in all their variations and not reach the end of those games in their lifetime. We also have more modern conveniences than ever. When my wife Kelly takes a trip for any length of time, I can survive using a microwave for any meal I want, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Thank God for the microwave. I'm going to get tired of the microwave after a while, though. Medical advances multiply year after year. Simple vaccines save millions of lives from viruses that would have wiped out multitudes a few decades ago. My daughter Annie is now pregnant, and we're able to make out the baby's physical traits in detail through the high-resolution imaging. It was only a few years ago that Kelly and I were thrilled to see our own first son, Ashley, through an ultrasound, yet on the screen he appeared as no more than a blob. In spite of these advancements, we're told by leaders in virtually every field, psychiatry, sociology, medicine, education, that this is the unhappiest generation that ever lived. Somebody needs to talk about that. I said, somebody needs to talk about that. Uh-huh. We all kind of put on a happy face, or at least some kind of face when we come into church, do we not? But a lot of times we come to church and we're not happy either. Come on. All right, we're going to play Christianette, or I won't ask who's ever come to church and had an argument just before you walked in the door, you know. Then you put on the happy face. Yeah, how you doing, brother? I'm doing great. Yeah, everything's beautiful. Hallelujah. And we know the other part of that, don't we? We've all been there and done that. 20 years ago, the average age of someone seeking help for depression was between 30 and 40. Today, the age is 14. Unbelievable. Well, it's believable with what's going on in our world. In just a couple of decades, what was once considered midlife crisis now plague adolescents with suicidal thoughts. Like the great acceleration in science and technology, there's an equal acceleration in maladies of the mind and heart. Yet the problems I'm describing aren't restricted to secular society. The same statistics apply to the family of God. People who are saved, sanctified, filled with God's Spirit, know God's Word, and are active in Christian community. Yes, followers of Jesus are unhappier by the droves, depressed, discouraged, anxious, discontent, lacking peace. Young people speak of being bored, even with thousands of digital entertainments within their reach. Now, at the end of the day, it all leaves them with an internal angst. I can't say this any other way. Our joy is being stolen from us. Amen. I may know who the joy killer is. Yeah, it's the devil. He's a joy sucker for sure. Uh-huh. And when the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, it's not just a warning to people about addictions or gross sins. The enemy of our souls wants to rob us of all that God has in mind for us, including joy, peace, contentment, vibrancy of life. And according to the Bible, that includes happiness. The devil wants to steal all of this from us, and he's actively working on it. Some of you know that better than I can preach it. He hates it. He hates the vibrancy and the life. I find it sad that I have to convince followers of Jesus Christ that his design for them is to be happy. Whenever the question is raised, does God want us to be happy, most Christians grow skeptical. They think this is the territory of prosperity preachers, not respectable ones. To them, any focus on happiness is the stuff that leads to heresy. Yet God does want us to be happy, unqualifiably happy. And I don't say this casually. God's desire for our happiness is solidly grounded and biblically based truth, proven in Scripture from beginning to end. Look up the word happy in your concordance and follow it through your Bible. Or joy. It's amazing how many times it's mentioned. And this truth has been reinforced throughout the church history by our godliest, most respected leaders. It is also proven by our own experience with God. Yet I'm like most other Christians when it comes to this subject. We tend to pause when we're asked, does God want us to be happy? When I told Kelly I was going to preach on happiness, she got quiet. Then she asked, don't you want to preach on joy instead? I don't blame her for asking this because I asked the same thing of God when I felt him stirring my heart to preach on happiness. As Christians, we've been taught to separate happiness from joy. Amen. We're told that happiness is fleeting based on circumstances, while joy is unmovable, always within us, within us regardless of our situation. But if we separate joy from happiness, we diminish the emotions God has given us. Amen. The Psalms express the full range of human emotions, from joy to rage to happiness to grief. And happiness is as much a part of our Christian life as is joy. Why? It is based on God's goodness. And God is good all the time. Mm-hmm. Some in the church say that our priority is to be holy above being happy. That doesn't make much sense. I grew up seeing the impact of Teen Challenge Ministry, where addict after addict was set free from the horrible vice of heroin. By the way, do you realize heroin is making a comeback? Do you know while you're sitting here that they have lowered the price of heroin to about $5 a hit? There was a whole state, I believe it's Vermont. They asked them what the number one problem was in the state. They expected the economy or terrorism. They said it was heroin addiction. The state has an awful problem with heroin addiction. And some of us have felt it even closer to home. As I received a call this last week from one of my 12 one of my 12 grandsons, addicted to heroin, kicking cold turkey, asked his grandpa for prayer. Doing better now. He went through it. He said he's never been anything through it, anything like that. He said he felt he was dying every day. He said the thing that he regretted was that he sold some to anybody else. Thank God the boy still has a heart. Amen? Guess what his name is? Elijah. The devil is a liar. See, I don't open up too much because we don't need to talk about our families. Amen? Kind of private situation. But I share with you, no one is immune from what's going on today. And the enemy is making things now. He's making it cheap so he could hook more people. Thank you, Lord, for helping us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, we're talking about God's purpose for me to be holy, so I don't have to be happy, but that's a little ridiculous. Holiness makes us happy. Hey, holiness makes us happy. What happened to holiness in the church? We don't hear anything about holiness hardly anymore, amen? Just be happy without holiness. No, you'll never be happy without holiness. Holiness goes with happiness. Amen. Now, I know that's a little strange for some ears, but holiness is just being made whole, amen? It's being made godlike. It's separated for holy purposes. It's God has worked in us and working in us. Glory to God. Holiness unto the Lord. How many know the bells, the horses will have holiness on the Lord in the thousand-year reign of our Lord? The priests will have holiness unto the Lord. And anytime the devil comes and attacks me with an evil spirit and some evil thought, I just go to holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. I just say, holiness unto the Lord. I refuse to think about that. I refuse to let that stay in my mind. How many know you can't keep the birds from flying over, but you can keep them from making a nest, they say. Thoughts come to everybody. Sometimes thoughts come, you say, I don't even think like that. I don't even go there. That ain't even me. But I may know the devil has a plan for it to be you because it's him. And he wants him reproduced in you. But we say holiness. Somebody say holiness unto the Lord. Oh, the horses are going to have it on their harnesses. Glory to God. Woo. Holiness. And the priests will have it. I believe it's on their forehead. Holiness unto the Lord. Amen. How many know just those words defeat unholiness? Just saying that takes care of evil, wicked spirits and evil, wicked perverseness and perverse things. We got so many perverted spirits running loose in our world today. You've got so much pornography going on. If I was to tell you the statistics of people that are watching that, male and female, it would blow your mind. You'd wonder, how were we ever going to make it? And I'm not just talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. And I think one of the reasons people go there is because they're unhappy. Can I be honest with you? They're unhappy. I've had preachers tell me they're into pornography because they're unhappy in their marriage. And then you have others that you have secular psychologists telling you, well, if you want a better marriage, you need to watch some pornography. And if that don't do it, you need to have an affair. Boy, don't ever go to a secular psychologist. They're as whacked out and crazy as can be. And if you find out what they're at, they're messed up more than you are. Come on. All right, I'm getting off here, but I'm sure you can understand it. Holiness and happiness can't be separated. Of course, Jesus makes it clear that everyone who follows him will experience suffering. There is pain and sorrow in the Christian life, but through every hardship, we know him to be trustworthy. Amen? He brings a joy and, yes, a happiness that the world doesn't know, and that happiness doesn't depend on our circumstances, and it doesn't last just for a weekend with a hangover on Monday, amen. If we're going to have a hangover, we're going to have a hangover from the glory. Hallelujah! We'll have a hangover, have a glory hangover. It doesn't matter whether we're right or wrong about the question of happiness because the Bible is absolutely right about it. God's Word settles any question about happiness once and for all. Every modern up-to-date version of the Bible speaks of happiness over and over. I'll start with the New International Version, a translation produced by respected scholars and understanding God's Word as it has been passed down to us. In their capable hands, the word happiness appears often and powerfully in regard to God's people. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Psalm 68:3. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor, Esther 8:16. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The fasts of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th month will become joyful and glad occasions and happy festivals for Judah. How many know we're not going to have to fast all of our life? Huh? He says the fast turned into happiness. The Holloman Christian Standard Bible is one of the newer translations, also drawing on the best scholars and most current historical documents. It tells us, happy are the people who know the joyful sound. Yahweh, they walk in the light of your presence. Happy are the people. The joyful sound. What's the joyful sound? Jesus saves. Hallelujah. Happy sound, Jesus delivers. Happy sound, Jesus heals. Happy sound. Amen. We're on our way to heaven. Happy are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance, your presence. Psalms 89:15. I will turn their mourning into joy. Give them consolation and bring happiness out of grief. Uh-oh, I like that one. Jeremiah 31:13. How many know Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet? He said, I will bring happiness out of grief. Whew, God. I gotta camp there a little bit. God's talking to somebody right now. Somebody that's been in grief about something. Oh, you may not see it on a Sunday morning because people are private. They're not going to let you see it. What good would it do? You got your own deal. Huh? You can't do anything about it anyway. That maybe agree with them, but even that, we need to talk to him about it. But God says, I'm going to bring happiness out of your grief. And God proved it through Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He was grieving what he saw, judgment coming on the nation. He saw the Islamics. He saw the Assyrians coming over the walls. He realized that God was judging Israel and taking over. The whole nation was being totally devastated. I mean, we see that today. They're coming over the walls. They're coming over the borders. Are you hearing me? You look in Habakkuk. You say, God, in wrath, remember mercy. He says, man, I was afraid when I saw, Lord, oh, Lord, I was afraid. He said, but in wrath, remember mercy. He says, revive thy work in the midst of years. He says, do something, Lord, in the midst of all of this mess. What he's saying, God, bring some happiness out of this grief. There's got to be a purpose for it. There is a purpose. The purpose of the Assyrian or the Islam coming over the walls and over the borders is that America and whoever it is will turn back to God. Huh? We turn back to God just for a little while from 9/11. Uh-huh. The churches were full for a little bit, but that didn't last long. And I tell you, you can't kill 60, 70 million babies and shed innocent blood and God ignore it. Are you hearing me? You can't export all the filth and pornography and garbage that we've done to the nations. And one of the legitimate things, and I'm not justifying the Islamic thing, but one of the things is they see the corruption and they're trying to save their families from the corruption that has consumed a culture that was once God-fearing and God-honoring. Exporting it to the nations. Homosexuality. Rampant. Many of them do not allow that. They still have laws against it. But we're smarter than them. We're smarter than God. Well, let's see how smart we are. Doesn't look like we're too smart, does it? And bring happiness out of grief. I don't care if the whole thing goes to hell in a handbasket. I don't care what they're doing, what they're not doing. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to bring happiness out of grief. Hallelujah. So I speak to whoever's grieving today over whatever you've lost, whatever you had, whatever you have wanted, whatever you've never had. I speak to you in the name of Jesus that God will bring happiness. God is speaking about happiness today. These are not just idle words. These are just not speaking words to sleepy people who lost an hour of sleep last night. That's all right. You can close your eyes, rest. These words will still penetrate wherever you're at. If you fall over in the pew, just rest. Put a blanket on them. Amen. They'll still hear what I'm saying. I'd go to sleep myself if I could curl up back there on that pew, but somebody's got to do this. Amen. The coldest would probably help me. What would you do if I just go back here and kind of lay down, you know, just kind of cover him up, let him rest. God's talking about your happiness. God's concerned about you and your unhappiness. And I would dare venture to say that in this room right now with the with what we have, that there's probably some areas in every life that are not happy. How can I be happy in that? I'm not telling you to be happy when a loved one dies. God's not stupid. But there is a joy, and there is something that transcends all of that. We'll talk about just a little bit more. We've just got a little bit more here. Amen. But he's talking about your happiness and mine. As the world becomes more and more unhappy, as the church shows more and more unhappiness, God's talking about your happiness and mine, and about bringing happiness out of grief. If you did it for Jeremiah and a nation that had fallen apart, totally overcome by the enemy and the Assyrian, devastated. The New Translation says this, another respected version reads, "And look, I will create Jerusalem as a place of happiness." Glory, Isaiah 65:18. I may know Jerusalem is somewhat a place of happiness, but not like it should be. I may know when you have to worry about bombs being lobbed over, when you got madman in Korea talking about setting off a nuclear bomb and crazy enough to do it, you combine that with weak leadership and this just kind of, but the Lord's in all of it. I said the Lord's in all of it. I said the Lord's in all of it. He sets up one and sets down another. And I pray that we have a little window of mercy, as Habakkuk prayed. In wrath, remember mercy, Lord. I know wrath is on us. I know judgment is on America. You don't have a 9/11 and not have judgment on America. You don't have what's going on and not be under judgment. But I may know the judgment so far is just warnings. They're calls to return. Return to your God. But who is listening? I believe there's some are listening. I believe we're seeing a little hope. God has raised up some godly men and women on the political scene, some more godly than others, may question some of their religiosity, but I don't think you can question others. Others have a track record, and they're right up there. Amen. And if you knew the prayer meetings are going on in Washington, D.C. right now, hundreds of people praying for this nation, we ain't done yet. If my people humble themselves and pray, amen. We've got a, yeah. When you get Harvest America coming from Dallas, Texas, the first Christian thing at the AT&T Stadium, the new Cowboy Stadium, and you're reaching 50 nations and thousands of churches and thousands of places where they websited it, including here, thank you. There's still hope for America. Lou Rawls. I like Lou Rawls. Lou, whatever his last name is, it rhymes with Rawls. Lou Rawls, I think. Anyway, he's a great prayer warrior, known for prayer. They're having a big Azusa 110th anniversary here at the L.A. Coliseum where the Rams will be playing. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. End of the world can't come yet. Amen. Hallelujah. We still got to play them Patriots and Cowboys and things, you know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, there's still hope. If they come home, hey, there's hope for America. Amen. All right, I got in the flesh. Forgive me. Over 100,000 people they're expecting. He said even if it's 70,000, they're praying for Azusa. They're not saying that God has said anything that he's going to do with that, but they feel that if they can, God has led them to pray, and he's a prayer warrior. They get 100,000 people or 70,000 in that L.A. Coliseum praying and begin to reach out. God just may give us another Azusa Street. Whoo! Glory to God. If my people will pray, humble themselves and pray. Things are happening. God knows what's going on. And I thank God. If Israel would have had some of this, I believe they would have still been a nation. But there wasn't any of that. They were all corrupt. It was from the top to the bottom. Even the children were corrupt. How many know the corruption in America has gone right down to the children? It is a sad thing what has happened to America. We got children, little children will cuss you out in a second. They'll cuss you better than a sailor. God help our children. We need an Azusa Street. We need a revival, and I believe God is setting it up. I said, I believe God is setting it up. Hallelujah. I will create Jerusalem a place of happiness. God's Word translation reads, the people ransomed by the Lord will return. Everlasting joy and happiness will be on their heads as a crown. Isaiah 35:10. The following verse actually addresses the malice of the present generation. You didn't serve the Lord your God with a joyful and happy heart when you had so much. When you had so much, you didn't serve him with a joyful and happy heart. We have more and have so much more than anybody else in all the nations of the world. And we still don't serve him with a happy and joyful heart. We want more. God forgive us. The one that's on welfare earns more than most people in the world today. And they've all got a television set. Mostly got some flat screens. I'm not putting down nobody. I'm just telling you, we're blessed. Others more so than others, but you didn't serve God with a joyful and happy heart when you had so much. No, you wanted more. You weren't happy. God, forgive us. We ought to repent. We need to repent. Forgive me when I had so much. I'm telling you, God's calling the church to repentance. And if you don't repent from it, you'll never be happy. Matter of fact, you become more unhappy. And if you won't even know what unhappy is if you keep going down that road. Listen to me. I'm telling you, the church has got to come back. Again, he shares, he's never seen so many unhappy Christians. Christians that have so much. It's a tough message. Whoo! Somebody say, I wish I'd stayed in bed a little longer, you know? Maybe we should turn that clock back a couple hours, amen? How many love the truth? It's the only thing that'll make you free. And somebody said, before it makes you free, it'll make you mad. Ever got mad with the truth? I have. Somebody shut that preacher's mouth. I'm sick and tired of hearing him. I didn't come for that. Not making me very happy right now. Deuteronomy 28:47 said that. Do you need a word on happiness from the New Testament? I mean, want a word from the New Testament. Although you have never seen Christ, you love him. You are extremely happy with joy and praise that can hardly be expressed in words. 1 Peter 1:8. Does that describe you? Although you've never seen him, you love him. You're extremely happy with joy and praise that can hardly be expressed in words. You know you're on your way to heaven. You know your sins are forgiven. You know God's been good to you. Yes, you have needs. Yes, it's not all you want to be, but you thank God. It's not what it could be. Amen. Although altogether I found 2,700 references that speak of happiness, joy, gladness, cheer, delight, even pleasure. And each of these emotions makes us part of the amazing adventure we live in Christ. Isn't it an amazing adventure? I said, is living for Christ an amazing adventure for you? Or has it become a disaster? Is it a jungle cruise just with all the hippopotamuses and alligators, you know? Arr! Is your Disneyland turned into a Disney disaster? Has the happiest place on earth turned to the worst place on earth? Well, you act like it. Not you, of course, the other people in that other church. I better get off that. I'll kill the anointing up here. And then you'll kill me. Amen. They did that to the other prophets. I'd like to escape if I could this morning. It's an amazing adventure. I said it's an amazing adventure. Every day is an adventure. Every day is a new day. Every day, God, what are you going to do today? God, how are you going to work it today? How are you going to fix this? How are you going to move that? Thank you for this day. Thank you for this beautiful Easter-like morning, all the sunshine. I walked out the door yesterday morning. My daughter was walking out, our oldest daughter, to go to work, and a little bird was on the little thing right by the front door. And I just said, he was looking at me. I said, hi, how you doing? She looked at me and said, even the birds talk to you. Well, I'm talking to them. I said, you know, they call me Zippity-Doo-Dah. It's a wonderful day. Now, either this is joy or I'm flat insane and crazy and you need to take me away. Just come get him. He ain't normal. He ain't right. Talking to the birds. One of the nicknames I used to mess us with kids was they called us minor birds. I didn't like that. But now, hey, they prophesy. Hallelujah. We're going to get some joy in here one way or the other. Well, it ought to be an amazing adventure we live in Christ. I said it ought to be an amazing venture we live in Christ. Even going to the doctor's office ought to be an adventure. Ain't that an adventure? Hallelujah. How many know God can work things out? Whoo, my God. The great thinkers and servants from church history spoke quite a bit, let me wrap this up, about happiness in the Christian life. How many have a picture of the old folks and the old church being some sour, dour, some of the old saints? Because we don't see them smile too much. They kind of look real sober. And well, if you had to live on a little house on the prairie, I'm not sure how many smiles you'd have either. Huh? But it doesn't mean that they weren't happy. I'm very glad you don't live back in the covered wagon days, even though you think you are when you come down this road. Thank you, Jesus. For over two millennia, 2,000 years, Christian voices have echoed scriptures, clear teaching on happiness. You'll never find Augustine smiling in any existing portrait, but he wrote this: there is no man who does not desire this to be happy. Amen. And each one desires it with such earnestness that he prefers it to all other things. How many really prefer being happy to everything else? Isn't that it? Hadn't God that put that in our hearts? I just want to be happy. I said, I just want to be happy in my marriage. I just want to be happy in my house. I just want to be happy with my family. I want to be happy in the church. I want to be happy in the job. Whoever desires other things desires them for this end alone. There is no man that does not desire this to be happy. Through all his intellectual wisdom, Augustine knew that at the core of every human desire is a desire to be happy. He said, God put that desire in the heart of man. In fact, happiness is the tool he uses to draw us all to Jesus. Christians live life to the fullest with energy and enthusiasm based on their knowledge of God's goodness. How's your knowledge of God's goodness? This mirrors back to people the condition of their own hearts. Mirrors back to us the condition of our own hearts. And they realize what he has is real. My life is miserable by comparison. I can see I'm dying in sin. I need God. How many know we have some sinning saints? That's why I asked God to forgive me for the sins of omission, commission, and he added a third one, disposition. We don't have much repentance for disposition. But how many know God is listening to your disposition? He's listening to your complaining, your criticism, your unhappiness, because it's really directed not at anybody else, it's directed at God. Come on. Whoo. How many know you can talk to God? See, I can talk to God. I say, God, you know, I think this stinks. And to be honest with you, Lord, if reverently and politely, I think you stink. Now, how many know God can handle that? It's better that you tell him that than you tell others that. It's better you be honest with God. I've heard people, they've talked about cussing God. And God said, I heard that before. He don't have any virgin ears. I know where you're hurting. I know when you hurt that bad, you liable to say anything. You might do anything, too. Come on. Can we be real or are we just going to? But what he really gets upset about is when we complain to other people. And when we go around grumbling, have you not read 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter? Did you not see what happened to those who murmured and complained? The earth opened up. Keep doing that and see what opens up and swallowed them all up. I believe I got the right one. Anyway, it wasn't good whatever happened there. I think it was the murmurers and complainers. Am I right, scholars? You don't even want to look there, huh? Okay, I got it. We don't want to know about that one. How many know God says they were given as examples to us? So that we should not fall in the same way as they did in the wilderness. That we should not fall like that. Glory to God. You don't hear too much preaching like this. They're empty churches, I'll tell you. I want to feel good. Make me feel good. Make me happy. Well, I'm trying to. Praise God. I can see I'm dying to God. Dying to sin. I need God. Can you see you need God? How many know a lot of people need God and they don't know that's what they need? They think they need a whole bunch of other things. You need God. That's what you need. You need a big dose of God. You got such a big dose of yourself. Don't get ugly, preacher. But how many know we all get a big dose of ourselves? Huh? The Puritans were seen as sober and dour. Yet even their leaders put happiness at the top of God's design for our lives. Thomas Watson wrote, he has no design upon us whatsoever, but only to make us happy. In all of that the Puritans went through, Thomas Manton wrote, "It is as natural for the reasonable creature to desire to be happy as it is for fire to burn." These words weren't penned lightly. The Puritan age was one of grief and hardship, with most children dying in their early years. Half the pilgrims died in the first year they were here in the New World. Yet in the midst of life's unavoidable pain and suffering, these writers declared Christians to be the happiest people in the world. Hallelujah! Christians to be the happiest people in the world. No, we're not crazy. No, I'm not off. I'm one of the happiest persons in the world. Got filled with the Holy Ghost 30, 40 years ago. I haven't stopped yet. The Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing. The Holy Ghost will give you a joy no matter what's going on. The Holy Ghost will keep you. Amen. I'm crazier now than I ever was. Crazy about Jesus. Crazy about the power of God. Thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thankful for what he's doing. The power of God to set the captive free. The power of God to make every day worth living. Woo! Regardless. Regardless. Tell you, that devil hates joy. He'll steal it if you let him. In latter years, the missionary Amy Carmichael wrote of happiness amid some of the world's darkest and ugliest reality. She ministered in India where young girls were trafficked into sex slavery. Amy rescued them and sheltered them in her protective compound, which was regularly attacked. She herself was beaten by people who opposed her work. She described her days this way: "There is nothing dreary and doubtful about this life. It is meant to be continuously joyful. And we are called to live a settled happiness in the Lord. To live in a settled happiness in the Lord, whose joy is our strength." We say the joy of the Lord is our strength, but we don't act like it. Look at somebody and say, "I know he's telling the truth, and I'm sure glad he's talking about you." Go on, Tom. Because he just started to make me mad, but I'm glad he's talking about you. Can you imagine this from a missionary like that in India? How do followers of Jesus in the Middle East endure horrifying attacks from ISIS? How do imprisoned Christians in countries hostile to their faith maintain hope? They have within them a joy and a happiness that sustains them through it all. The Bible they look to isn't some positive rah-rah book that fills them with false hope. It renews their minds, stirring within them what the Spirit has already placed in their hearts, that true happiness is a reality in our lives, given by God. Hallelujah. I wonder how many more people would want to come in the church if they saw more happiness. When I was a kid, I looked at the church and said, "Shoot, I got enough problems. I don't need that." The preacher looked like the undertaker. And the deacons looked like the pallbearers. And the congregation looked like they was at the funeral. And I looked at that as a young man. I said, "I got enough problems. I don't need that." Glory to God. So I ran for 10 years. How's happiness possible? How do you regain happiness when it's escaped you for so long? How many know happiness can escape you? I said, happiness can escape you. And I dare believe that, although I'm speaking to somebody here or not, somebody listening to this will be listening on podcast. Happiness has escaped them. I don't know how it got out, but it escaped. And it's escaped me. And to be honest with you, Pastor, I'm not happy. And I'll tell you what, the Lord's heart is broken. Because he feels that. And he knows that. And he's touched by that. And he's not castigating anybody because of it. He's showing us a way to deal with. And I'll tell you what, if you can't deal with what's going on right now, hear me, church. The Bible says if we can't run with the footman right now, if we can't walk out, what will happen when we have to run with the horses? As this thing de-escalates, the Bible's clear about what's going to happen before the coming of the Lord. We got to get this right. Because it ain't getting no better day by day. And either you're getting better day by day, or you're getting worse day by day. You're either getting happier, or you're getting more unhappier day by day. And at some point, who knows what will happen when you reach a certain point. The Bible says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. They will say, "This doesn't work. I didn't buy into this. I didn't sign up for this." You know why they don't know what's going on? You know why they hate the way? Because they don't read their Bible. I want to talk to you about spiritual people that don't read their Bible. They read the newspaper. They read other things. But the Bible, don't really go there that much. I tried it. I try it now and then. I mean, no, it's a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. You know what disciplines? The flesh. I don't know about you. I'd rather watch the news than read the Bible. In the flesh. I said in the flesh, but in the spirit. No, I can't wait. I say, Lord, I don't want to see a word on that till I get a word from you. I don't want to hear what they say till I hear what you say. I don't want to be filled with that till you fill me with you. Because a lot of Christians are so filled with what's in this world, they don't have any appetite for the other. They're filling themselves with program after program, reality show after reality show. They haven't got enough word in them to kill a sick devil. Come on. And they're getting sicker and more unhappy by the day. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. I can buy you all the what things I can buy you in the world. Happiness doesn't come from outside, it comes from inside. Because whatever I do now that might do something, it'll be back tomorrow. You can have 10 bouquets of flowers. Are you still there? I better close this up, huh? This may be my last message, but I hope it's a good one. How is happiness possible when you're in physical pain? When you're troubled in soul? When your family is in shambles? Is that a good question? Let me give you just a few helpful words. Number one, you've been given biblical evidence that God wants happiness for you. Number one, believe he wants it for you. Amen? You got to believe that. A lot of people don't believe that. Yeah, joy, but not happiness. Two, believe that happiness he gives is a solid reality, not a pie in the sky. It's real. Three, renew your mind on the subject, on this subject through his word. Don't be robbed of this truth by the enemy. Amen? Oh, it's quiet in here. My God. Because we live in a fallen world, the slant of our minds is typically negative. Amen? Some of us tend to read the Bible only for the passages on sin and judgment. How many have ever opened the Bible and all you hear is about sin and judgment? Somebody's going to kill somebody and you're going to get it too. In the neck. And so you say, man, there's something else in here I can read. How many know the enemy likes to play with us? If you don't like that one, close your eyes and close the Bible and turn it again. Turn to one till you know God's talking to you. Amen. Don't let the devil run you out. Say, well, he only talks bad things about me and says bad things about me. Oh, grow up. Keep going till you get something good. Some of us tend to read the Bible only for the passages on sin and judgment while neglecting the many references to his love and blessings of happiness. Somebody shout happiness. Yet even a natural pessimist can know happiness if he knows God. Huh? In turn, a natural optimist doesn't have the same hope without knowing God. His happiness is built on sand, not solid rock. Say, well, you just have a personality, Pastor. You know, you just get up and you're happy and all that. No, I'll tell you, my happiness comes from the Lord. I may have a personality that tends that way, but I won't tell you, that wouldn't last me very long, not with living with myself or just having to live with life or maybe having to live with you. We have to live with each other. We better have more than just us. We better not go there either. I'm closing. Peter and John stood on a firm foundation of happiness when they sang songs of praise in the prison. The Apostle Paul did the same thing when he was in chains because God's love was established in their hearts. They were already free before God supernaturally delivered them from their bonds. They were already free even before God set them free. When your head is filled with negative thoughts, when you begin to doubt God's love for you and his pleasure in you, I urge you to do something very practical. Find a piece of paper and write down the thought you're having, then read it out loud. Recognize how bizarre and unreal it is. Then write this down. I am a child of my Heavenly Father who takes pleasure in me. That is not positive self-talk. It is a reality. His word makes it so. Believe it and find true happiness. Amen. In Jesus' name. Wednesday, the Lord told me to do something. He said that we together, those that were here, the Lord told me to bind and cast out the spirit that is stealing our joy. It's a spirit. I said it's a spirit. You're not fighting flesh and blood. It's fighting your flesh and blood, but you're fighting a spirit. Woo! And I don't know about you, but we're not going to allow no spirits to hang around here. I said I'm not allowing no spirit to hang around my house. You have a choice. You can let it hang around your house. You can be unhappy and do all that and go through all that, but I will fight against that. I'll fight with all my soul and all my heart because I lived an unhappy childhood for my first 20 years. No joy, no future, only pain. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And boy, whew, when God can move in something like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready to really do that? Are you ready to take authority over the devil and cast out every spirit that is stealing your joy? Well, let's do it together. Hallelujah. Stand with me. See, this is a not just hear, this is a do it. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Lord, Holy Spirit, take over right now. We're coming against grief. We're coming against unhappiness. We're coming against dissatisfaction. We're coming against murmuring, complaining. I say we're coming against everything that's coming against us. Everything that's dragging us down. And I tell you, it'll drag you down so far you won't even want to come to church. Huh? That's how bad that can get. And it's happened countless times. Yeah. Come on. Come on, stir your spirit up. Say, Lord, I thank you for your truth. I love your truth. I love your word. I love your preached word. Yeah, it stung a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, you talked to me this morning, Lord. But I thank you. I praise you. Come on. We're casting out that spirit. We're binding that spirit, stealing our joy. Jesus, come against everything trying to separate us, Lord. Hallelujah. You stay. Lord, we stand in your presence. We break that spirit, stealing our joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody's praising the Lord. Father, we make the place. Just Heavenly Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to close this service. It's a pretty heavy subject. Happiness, unhappiness. We're dealing with really a bucket of snakes at times. A lot of water under the bridge. A lot going on. But Father, as we stand in your presence, we humble ourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Father, we confess whatever we need to. We bring to you our unhappiness. We bring to you, Father, all those emotions, all those feelings, everything we've said, everything we've thought. We ask you to forgive us. Would you humble yourself to do that? Would you say, Father, forgive me? Yeah. Forgive me, yeah, for my complaining, my grumbling, whatever I have said that has offended you, that has castigated you, that has criticized you, that I didn't mean to do that. I was just unhappy, just not happy. You said you want me happy. Lord, I don't know where to find that. I know the preacher says it's in you, it's in your word. So, Lord, I come back to you. Totally and completely, and I seek you, and I bind this spirit. I said we bind this spirit that's trying, that's stealing my joy, and I cast it out. Get out. Get out of my house, my personal house. Get out of my house, period. Get out of my family. Get out of my church. Get out of everything that concerns my life. I thank you, Lord, for 2,700 references to my happiness, my joy, my gladness, my peace. I receive it now. I take a few moments, Lord, in this service to thank you for speaking to me and helping me. Father, thank you for that one. Especially that one that's endured so much hardship, so much attack of the enemy. That one that is so, each one so called of God, so anointed, each one. We bind that attack off their life. We bind the joy stealers that come to plague them and have determined to overtake them. Oh God, we lift them to you. We lift the body to you today, Lord. We take a few moments just to take serious this word today. There's so much happening in our world that can make us so unhappy. We don't know what's ahead, but we know that you're the one that has our future. And so we keep our eyes on you, and we keep our ear to the Word and to the heart of God. Our eyes in the Word. Father, for the days we live in our perilous days, you said they would be. But we thank you all things are working together for good. We have to believe that, Lord. We choose to believe that. When I see nothing working, everything working just the opposite, I choose to believe your word over what I see and what I feel and what I hear. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you this is the day of the Lord. And it is a day. You said it's a day of dark clouds and gloominess. But in the midst of that, the joy of the Lord, the glory has risen upon us, you said. And so, Father, no matter how dark it may be, I thank you for the light that is in each one today, that dispels that darkness, that illuminates in that darkness. And Lord, that is a joy and a happiness for them first and for others who will see them. Oh, God, use us. Use this church. Make it a lighthouse. Make it a place, the happiest place on earth. Don't let Disneyland be the happiest place on earth. Some fantasy place where people escape reality. But let the church be the reality that Jesus is Lord. And he's a God. He is joy. He is peace. He is prosperity. He is healing. He is everything we need. We need nothing else. We are complete in him. If you don't give us anything else from here on out, you've already blessed us so much that if we had to go the rest of the way without another blessing, give us the grace and the mercy to thank you for what you've already done, how many things you've already brought us through, and how you've helped us day after day, week after week, year after year. Lord, we give you praise. We believe we're in the greatest hour of the church. May we be a bright and shining light. May what people and people see us, may they want what we have. May they see that joy in contrast to their unhappiness and wonder, what have you got? I want what you have. Help us to be a church like that in these days before the coming of our Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Thank you for everyone here today. Everyone that has heard your words, whatever has been your word, let it bless. Whatever may have come from me, let it pass away. But let your word remain. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you. God loves you. You're a great congregation. Have a great week. And may you have more joy and happiness than you've ever known before. Hallelujah. Tell somebody I'm about to be the happiest person on earth. Amen. Yes, I am the happiest person on earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to put a sign out there. The happiest place in the valley is Glad Tidings Gathering Place. Happiest place on earth. Forget Disneyland. You don't want to go there. Come over here. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Love somebody on your way out.